The Fantasy Focus Football Podcast is presented by Geico. Tuesday, November 24th, Field Yates and Stefania Bell again back for you today, Waiver Wire Tuesday. And somewhat of a modified Tuesday because we have three games on Thursday, short week. We're going to get a lot of information in there. Daniel Dopp, who, for those that may have missed it, the good news is you can go back and watch it again because Daniel Dopp filled in. And I'm not going to go as far as Wally Pipp or Tom Brady, Stefania.
Why not?
I'm just telling you, if Matthew has a house here near Bristol, might be worth putting it up on the market after Daniel's performance on the fantasy show yesterday.
Wow.
First off, he should get it insured by Geico, obviously,
yes.
If he has a house.
Of course.
Yep. So, but it was a ton of fun. I very thankful for the opportunity. It was a blast to be able to do it with all the puppets. So definitely check out the ESPN Plus, the fantasy show with Matthew Berry. I got to host it. It was a lot of fun. It was not just a joke. I did the whole thing. So check it out. Let me know what you think at Daniel Dopp on Twitter. I'm going to send out a couple clips a little bit later today so you can check out my social feed and you can see a few of them.
And if for some reason you don't like Daniel Dopp, which is unfathomable to me.
It's not possible.
If you need to have, or you don't have ESPN Plus or the Disney Plus bundle,
mm-hmm.
Get on that too. Because again, in the incredibly unlikely scenario that you don't like Daniel Dopp, you do like Taylor Swift.
Yes.
And if you're willing to stay up until midnight Pacific time tonight, so 3 a.m. Eastern time, you can watch an exclusive Taylor Swift concert on Disney Plus. That right there feels like worth the price of admission. So go get the Disney Plus / ESPN Plus package. Watch Daniel, watch Taylor Swift, two icons that many consider the greatest mm-hmm. in their respective fields.
Yep. I'm impressed that you knew that that was coming tonight.
I saw it on Twitter.
Heels of Swifty.
Yeah.
Definitely.
Honestly, if you're not, again, if you're not, it's more of a you problem than it is a Taylor problem. Let's get to some news. And we do have a bunch of news today. And we start, unfortunately, yesterday we got a bunch of COVID news, Stefania. It starts with Adam Thielen in Minnesota.
Yeah, placed on the reserve COVID-19 list, as were several other folks. But this has an impact for this week. I mean, look. The NFL came out with some new guidelines because, as we have seen, the numbers of folks getting added to this reserve COVID-19 list has gone way up. Let me just give you a couple numbers. Field, you'll like this because you like numbers.
Mm-hmm.
There have been 108 tests that have been returned positive in the past two testing periods compared to 146 in the previous 11 periods.
Wow.
Now, what the NFL will say, and it's fair, is that the rise of COVID-19 in the community presents an increased risk because, after all, players are living within the community. But what it means and why it's important for us here in terms of fantasy is because you're probably going to see players affected in advance of games. And again, this week we have some Thursday games. We'll talk about that. But now the NFL is requiring players to wear masks on the sideline, absolutely, unless they have a helmet on or preparing to enter the game. And the number of players who can travel, the max is 62. So again, you're shrinking the number of folks on the road.
So with Adam Thielen, what we do not yet know, Stefania, is whether he has tested positive for COVID-19 or if he was exposed to somebody who had tested positive to COVID-19. We may not get the answer directly from the Vikings. As a matter of fact, teams are not permitted to disclose whether a player tested positive for COVID-19. My general sense is that with all the great reporters covering the Vikings, including Courtney Cronin, and plus the national reporters, that we'll probably have an idea on Adam Thielen in the next day or so. And the reason why that is important is because if he has tested positive, he is, no doubt about it, out for Week 12. There is no scenario in which he plays in Week 12 for the Vikings. If he has been exposed to somebody and is what we have been calling a high-risk close contact, then this is going to be akin to Ben Roethlisberger and Matthew Stafford in previous weeks, right, where he could be lifted off the list in time to play on Sunday against the
Panthers. Rule, again, just for a reminder, for the high-risk close contacts is if they continue to test negative, after 5 days, they can return to the facility.
And if I'm not mistaken, Stefania, and Daniel, I'm going to get to you in 1 second. Is there a class sort of below high-risk close contact, like just a close contact?
Yes.
Because, for example,
there is
the Chiefs, 2-3 weeks ago, placed defensive tackle Chris Jones on the COVID-19 list on Thursday. He was out by Friday. So he was out, meaning like he was back on the active roster within a day.
So there are a lot of, you know, immediately if there is any suspicion, a player will be placed on the list, not allowed to come to the facility. But in some tests, there are in some cases, there are inconclusive test results. Then there are factors that may then, you know, somebody could present with an illness, perhaps they're tested later, they find out it's something else that was not COVID related. So there are other features that would potentially allow you to come back. But if you are a high risk close contact, and that means somebody who they've determined is more vulnerable based on exposures that are either prolonged without mask wearing or they've spent a lot of time together, then those individuals are the ones that are placed on that list, and it's the 5 days. And the reason this matters is because now the NFL has also gone to every club being in intensive protocols. Previously, only the clubs who had players or staff identified as having a positive COVID-19 result went into the intensive protocols. But what they found is that the clubs that were doing that field had a significant reduction. I think it's something like over 56% in terms of high-risk close contacts. Mm-hmm. So all this terminology, what it ultimately means is if they go into the more intensive protocols, there's less chance that somebody who may not be positive gets put on a list that would take them out of a game, potentially.
Okay, so we will monitor the Adam Thielen news. Again, we'll talk about it tomorrow, Wednesday show, final show of the week before the holiday. I know one of the concerns Daniel had was, hey, what if you have to make a decision on Adam Thielen and replace him for a player on Thursday when the games begin? My hope and my sense is that we'll have a better feeling on which way things are headed for Adam Thielen by then. So we mentioned that the clarity you can get when a player is placed on COVID-19 is that he's out for at least a week. Well, the Ravens placed two players, running backs J.K. Dobbins and also Mark Ingram, on the COVID-19 list. And Stefania, in this case, we learned this was because of positive tests.
Positive tests, which means, as you said, they are definitively out, which really changes things for Baltimore, who plays on Thursday, because now, hello, Gus Edwards.
Yeah, and by the way, the Ravens play next Thursday as well. So I'm not trying to put the cart before the horse, but the Ravens, let's monitor this, right? This could very, it could be a 1 week arrangement, but it could be more than that. Let's not get too far ahead of ourselves. I'm just mentioning it as you are planning your roster. So Gus Edwards, call him the Gus Bus, finished his college career at Rutgers, started it out at the U. Do you know that?
Yes, I did.
Gus Edwards, who I always use this term to describe Gus Edwards because he's been on the waiver wire column like 3-4 times, right? He's no nonsense. Gus Edwards is a no-nonsense runner. It is basically like he basically runs between the guards. He basically runs with two hands on the football like he's holding on for dear life, and he usually gets somewhere between 4 and 6 yards a carry.
It's funny you say that because I actually noticed that this weekend was how he was protecting the ball.
And some guys make a living off of the electric run. Some guys make a living off of just falling forward and always giving you what you need. I always feel like Kyle at the end of the season pulls like percentage of carries that gain yardage or gain at least 5 yards. Gus Edwards, generally speaking, is near the top of that list. Now, he has zero value, zero in the passing game, unless they change things up on Thursday night. But to this point of the season, again, zero passing game usage. We'll talk more about waiver wire ads, and we'll get into J.K. Dobbins a bit more in that conversation later.
I do have a fun Gus Edwards stat.
I'm ready for it. Up.
Are you ready for this?
I'm ready.
Okay. I did this on my own, Kyle, so pay attention. Tell me if I'm wrong. Yep. But no, I don't think so. So week 8 against Pittsburgh, he went 16 for 87 and a touchdown. 14.77 fantasy points, the best of the year. So in that game, Lamar had 16 carries as well, tying his season high. So if you're worried like Lamar Jackson runs the ball more this week because they don't have J.K. Dobbins and they don't have Mark Ingram and that affects him, that's not necessarily the case because Lamar had a number of runs in that game and Gus Edwards still had his best game against Pittsburgh. So I think that portends well potentially for him this week.
Say they're going to need – here's the bottom line, and this is not necessarily a fantasy conversation, but it kind of is. The magnifying glass is focused as far as it could possibly be on Lamar Jackson. He is a great talent, and he had one of the greatest seasons I've ever seen last year. He needs to bring it on Thursday night. We need to see the best version of Lamar Jackson or more questions than answers. Quickly, Kyle, you have the fill in the blanks on my friend Gus Edwards.
Of course. During his career since 2018, there have been 34 running backs that have gotten at least 300 carries. Gus Edwards leads the crew in both percentage of carries gaining yardage at 89 and percentage of carries gaining at least 5 yards at 38.6.
Wow. All right. Sometimes I make things up, and sometimes...
You're spot on.
Kyle, thank you for being in lockstep there. So as we said, Gus Edwards, a must add for this week. He'll be a flex play because of no passing game usage. We'll talk more about J.K. Dobbins again a little bit later on in the show. And I do think that we need to mention the name Justice Hill, fourth round pick last year out of Oklahoma State. Very, very fast, shifty water bug. He's going to crack the running back rankings, almost like others receiving vote style for Matthew's love-hate column. Not literally on a love-hate column. I'm just saying that sort of style there. But I don't know that I would feel confident trusting him or starting him on Thursday night. Joe Burrow, Stefania, got some really bad news yesterday. And this is why, you know, on Sundays, when a player goes down, like, it was obvious something was up with Joe. It was obvious that his knee was in a lot of trouble. Like, we knew what the fear was, Stefania. Like, when a guy's knee bends the wrong way, when he gets hit by a 270-pound defensive player, the fear is that his knee's in a lot of pain and probably has some ligament damage. This is why the MRI matters, because I feel like yesterday, the news was terrible, but honestly, like, I got a little pit in my stomach yesterday for Joe Burrow once the full scope of the injury was revealed.
Right, and to be honest, I don't even know that the full scope has yet been revealed.
Oh,
so Adam Schefter and Ben Baby reported that Joe Burrow had torn his ACL and MCL. But I did NFL Live yesterday with Adam, and he added that he had heard there was also some PCL damage and meniscus damage, which for those of us who look at these injuries frequently, if you look at the mechanism and the force direction of that hit, it makes sense because it kind of took out the back and inside corner of his knee. But until they get in there, until they open up his knee and are able to look, there's other potential damage, cartilage damage, for example. The capsule, which is the fibrous tissue that encases the joint, can be damaged. There are things that are hard to appreciate in the presence of swelling, etc. So the bottom line is, when he ultimately has surgery, that's really when they'll be able to assess, and looking forward in terms of what they did to reconstruct his knee, what are the next steps and how long it will take. I know everyone's wondering about next year. I think it's safe to say the start of the season is in question. If you consider that a typical ACL surgery, we talk about 9 months, give or take, and that's for an isolated ACL tear. Imagine if you have all these other issues, it's potentially longer. And the last thing you want to do, forget the timeline right now, the last thing you want to do for the health and in his career going forward is you don't want to rush him back. What's a month when you're talking about the career of this young man? And to end on a positive note, let's look at some quarterbacks who've had multi-ligament knee injuries, starting with Tom Brady, who didn't have potentially this much damage, but had an ACL, MCL. And I don't know, he's had a pretty good career.
And he also had a very scary post-surgery situation.
Yeah, he had an infection post-surgery. And, you know, once he recovered, so that set him back on the time. Again, part of why timelines are difficult to establish because things can come up. Carson Wentz had a multi-ligament knee injury. He's back playing. And Teddy Bridgewater had a substantial injury with a knee dislocation, and he is leading the Panthers right now. So again, there's every reason to have optimism for Joe Burrow going forward. We'll be talking about this as we approach the fantasy season next year. But I would say right now, I wouldn't plan on him being ready for week one.
Okay. That's okay. Good to that's sort of like it's, I don't say it's bad to know. It's bad to know that he has all these issues. It's good to know that he is, that there is context surrounding other quarterbacks that have made comparable returns.
Yeah. Right.
And so Joe Burrow has proven a lot over the past, let's say, like 18 months or so. Don't bet against Joe Burrow. That's sort of my piece of advice. So all the best to you, Joe, in a recovery. The Bengals obviously will have a lot of eyes towards 2021 for the rest of this season. LaMichael Perine, Stefania, the Jets have had like a sneaky amount of injuries this year. Now, they're not good, obviously, but still, they have been banged up a lot. And LaMichael Perine is the latest Jet to be dealing with something.
Right. And he has a high ankle sprain. And we know, you know, we call it the dreaded high ankle sprain for a reason. These take a little bit longer to recover from. It's not usually a 1 or 2 week injury. We have only Christian McCaffrey to look at to see how much time it took before he was ready to come back. So LaMichael Perine, I would imagine, headed to injured reserve and not necessarily expected to return in 3 weeks. Who knows if he'll be back this season? We will see.
I'm having a hard time with Frank Gore, Stefania. I love him, and he's a legend, as we all know.
We just want him to get a win.
We want to get a win. But as I mentioned yesterday, Frank Gore has had at least 10 carries in all but two games this season, and I believe he has two games in total with 10 or more fantasy points. So it's hard for me to say, like, you got to go add Frank Gore because he's going to help push you over the edge in a matchup this week, especially considering that it's not like a lot of people were relying on Michael Pirine, right? So I think you can probably add him in a deeper league if you feel like you need some running back depth, but I don't think it's a priority must add. We have three Thursday games, which means we already have some injury reports and updates, one of which is interesting, Stefania. The Washington football team has said that Antonio Gibson missed practice yesterday, or projected missed practice yesterday.
Right. Again, when they don't have practice, they have to submit an injury report with estimates. But the thing I would say, and it's an ankle issue for Antonio Gibson, is with these short weeks, this doesn't really concern me. I won't be concerned until I hear that Wednesday he's not practicing, because even if he stays limited for the entire week, this is all done with the thought in mind that they are playing again on Thursday after a Sunday game. So I think it's too soon to be concerned, but you definitely want to keep your eye on Antonio Gibson's status for practice over the next 2 days.
We will certainly keep an eye on that one. J.D. McKissic and is Bryce Love even back? I know he was designated to return at one point.
Poor Bryce Love has had some ongoing issues since his ACL injury.
We'll say that's a fair way of categorizing it. Hopefully we have Antonio Gibson on Thursday. Looking forward to the three-game slate on Thanksgiving. All right, some news, and you guys all know what we're going to talk about next. It's Taysom Hill. Taysom Hill, as of today, is only eligible as a tight end. Excuse me. Whew, I just threw that one up. As of today, let me restart this. Taysom Hill is only eligible at quarterback in your leagues. I know that this caused some uneasiness and some frustration. People seem to think that taunting or yelling at us via Twitter or Instagram would rectify the matter. Mm. Turns out it did not. Mm. Turns out we made a decision, and this is fantasy football, and we were very clear about this and explicit from the get-go. But the reality is that we also told you we would evaluate the situation at the end of the week. And we did. And Taysom Hill is now a quarterback for this week. And we presume Drew Brees will, as we know, miss at least three games. We presume that Taysom Hill will be the starting quarterback for a week beyond this, maybe even more. And you know what? He might be a pretty good option in your quarterback slot as well if you did add him, whether it was to play tight end or quarterback. His schedule coming up, three games on the road at Denver, at Atlanta, at Philadelphia. Again, Drew Brees might return. At least it's possible to play in that Philadelphia game. And Taysom Hill may or may not be the quarterback until then. May or may not be the quarterback in that Philadelphia game. But for fantasy purposes, he is now a quarterback only on ESPN Fantasy. That's it. That's what it is, people. That's what it is. All right, we're going to talk about some returning running backs in just a moment. But first, as Daniel was saying earlier on, do you own or rent your home? Sure you do, and I bet it can be hard work. But you know what's easy? Bundling policies with GEICO. GEICO makes it easy to bundle your homeowner's or renter's insurance along with your auto policy. It's a good thing, too, because you already have so much to do around your home. Go to geico.com, get a quote, and see how much you could save. It's GEICO easy. Visit geico.com today. That's geico.com.
Businesses have had to be flexible this year. From working remotely to pivoting their business models for long-term survival and growth. If you're in charge of hiring for your business, these pivots have made your job even more challenging, especially if you have to hire for brand new roles. Thankfully, there's one place that you can always count on to make hiring faster and easier. ZipRecruiter.com/06010. When you post a job on ZipRecruiter, it gets sent out to over 100 top job boards with just one click. Then ZipRecruiter's powerful matching technology finds people with the right skills and experience for your job, and it actively invites them to apply. It's no wonder that 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. So see for yourself right now. You can try ZipRecruiter for free at ZipRecruiter.com/06010. That's ZipRecruiter.com/06010. Let ZipRecruiter take hiring off your plate so you can focus on growing your business and being there for your employees. Go to ZipRecruiter.com/06010. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire.
Some updates on running backs, and we begin with DeAndre Swift. Stefania, again, the Lions play on Thursday. They play every year on Thanksgiving. They had a projected injury report on Monday. What do we learn about DeAndre?
So this one matters. You know how I said Antonio Gibson, I wasn't that concerned because soft tissue injury, they're resting him for Thursday. DeAndre Swift listed as a did not practice, and I think it's important because Detroit does play Thursday, and the last we heard was he was out with a concussion, was added to the injury report last Thursday. Still unclear when this injury developed, but the symptoms were there for him to be removed on Thursday. He was ruled out on Friday. And I think the fact that he wasn't doing anything at practice as a projection is a little concerning for a Thursday status.
Yeah, it certainly is. And we'll see whether or not they run Adrian Peterson again, whether we see a little bit of Kerryon Johnson. It would seem to be that way. But last week is hard to take too much from. Unfortunately, they were shut out against the Panthers. So hopefully we get DeAndre Swift back in time for Thursday. It may not seem likely right now. Christian McCaffrey, Stefania, that shoulder injury continues to be a problem.
Yeah, and it sounds like Christian McCaffrey is going to miss this game, and this doesn't come as a huge surprise. Like, if you look in the context of things, he has an AC injury to his shoulder. I've made the James Conner comparison before. These running backs, when they put their shoulder down, you run the risk of aggravating the very thing you just injured. He came back returned week 9 from the ankle issue, injured his shoulder then. Week 14, which is after their week 13 bye, would put him at 5 weeks. That feels to me like when we see him next.
That seems like the biggest thing, is they have their bye next week.
Right, you can so buy why do it?
Yep. Chris Carson, Stefania, Pete Carroll has been adamant that he will play in week 12.
He better.
Are you adamant that Pete Carroll is being forthright on this?
I think he is, because, you know, Pete Carroll is forever the optimist, and we give him some grief about that. But I think in this case, he said it right after the week 11 game. And week 11, he came in questionable. They were talking about him looking good, doing a little bit of running. Like, there was progress there. This wasn't just words. So I do believe that we're going to see Chris Carson week 12.
Okay, that would be awesome to see. Austin Eckler has taken to social media to give some encouraging updates. He's squatting, I think I saw 4 plates per side. What's that? Again, by 405. The guy is a behemoth. He last played in week 4, Stefania. Might he be back soon?
Yeah, he was complaining in those videos of his workout that one leg had shrunk because of the hamstring injury. He had also posted that the time was drawing near. He's very interested in alerting his fantasy managers to his status. And the video he posted of him running, you know, I look at these things because you're seeing what is the player doing. He was running straight line, so you're not seeing any cuts or plants, things that require a little more explosion from the hamstring. He didn't appear to be running full speed, but that was a week ago. So the key for me is, can he get back into practice this week? Week 12 has sort of been postulated as the time that he would return, but we need to see him in practice. This is not the type of injury. The reason I say this, you know, we always say we need to see what he does in practice, but this is not the type of injury where you show up and you get activated. Like, he needs to practice and show that he can get through it before he's active.
Okay, so maybe not yet for Austin Eckler, but keep an eye on him.
Yeah,
Raheem Mostert.
Still possibly this week, but he needs to do stuff.
Okay.
He's going to do it.
How about Raheem Mostert, Stefania? It's been a while since we saw him. He hasn't played since week 6, I believe.
Yeah, left high ankle sprain. Kyle Shanahan had expressed optimism he would return after the bye. Obviously, the 49ers will be coming off of the bye, so I think that you will see him back this week.
That is excellent news, and he has played fantastic when he's been on the field for the 49ers. If he's on the field, you will be starting him almost assuredly. David Montgomery, Stefania, missed week 10. He's been in the concussion protocol. They had their bye in week 11. Do we think we'll see him here in week 12?
He was present on Monday for the portion of practice open to the media. So that is a good sign coming off a concussion. So we always say nonlinear progression, but that is the first step. So encouraging.
Okay. I know that David Montgomery has been a player that we've talked about extensively on this show, being like, yeah, really not much to write home about. But still, when there are so few running backs you can trust, a guy like David Montgomery typically ends up being ranked around running back 20 to 25 in a given week. Plenty of value there, and the Bears have not found an option in his absence. One piece of news that we are getting during the show, the Cowboys have canceled all activities today. Remember, they play on Thursday, as always, on Thanksgiving. The reason why is they have a non-COVID-related medical emergency within their facility. We are working to gather more information putting it on your radar right now. There are no indications that this will limit any of the players on Thursday. Obviously, really our primary thoughts are with the Cowboys right now and hoping this is not too grave of an issue. It's a developing story that broke just minutes ago, and we'll continue to get as much information as we can, hopefully by the time the podcast is over. Time now for us to get into a recap of last night's game. And the Rams, man, are they impressive. The Rams improve to 7-3. They go on the road, take down Tom Brady and the Buccaneers, and that's where we begin. Tom Brady, at his very best, is still outstanding. But he looked bad last night. He looked bad.
I mean, it kind of sealed the deal at the end. That was the bullet point on the game. You know, and it's weird to see him make bad throws. You almost do a double take and go, was the receiver not running the right route? Was there a problem there? Because you don't expect it to be Brady. But he made a couple big mistakes, and Bruce Arians talked about it afterward.
Yeah, and Brady finishes with 12.6 fantasy points. Here's the bottom line. We talked about this with Brady. It wasn't a good matchup for him. So a lot of people, we had him 15th in our rankings this past week. We suggested you fade on Tom Brady. I'm not going to read too much into this one. I like him next week against Kansas City, and I like him in a lot of his matchups after the bye. The Bucs' backfield continues to be incredibly frustrating, Stefania, but last night was about as low as it gets for Ronald Jones. Plays 9 fewer snaps than Leonard Fournette, and he had 2.4 fantasy points. Daniel and I talked about this coming into the show. Like, who would have thought, like, if they needed 3 fantasy points from Ronald Jones, they would lose last night, but they did. Here's the bottom line. It's going to bother us all season. Leonard Fournette finds the end zone, which is great. He had 4 targets. He dropped 3 passes. Leonard Fournette looked terrible last night. He's not good at football.
It was really interesting.
A lot better than I am, but he's still not good.
Because you think about how Ronald Jones got benched after his fumble. And Bruce Arians, I thought, went out of his way last night to talk about what good hands Leonard Fournette has, which was puzzling to me given the poor performance. Like, why the defense of that when Ronald Jones got yanked so clearly for a fumble that actually I thought wasn't totally his fault? I just don't understand why they're even leaning towards Leonard Fournette. Maybe the goal line situation because you think his size gives you an advantage, but where did Ronald Jones go? Very disappointing.
Yeah, very, very disappointing last night. And you know what? These Bucs wide receivers, they actually ended up giving you a reasonable fantasy night, all 3 of them. Chris Godwin, 18.3. Antonio Brown had 8 catches on 13 targets, 13.8 fantasy points. Mike Evans goes for 5 for 49 and 15.9 fantasy points. But one thing that is becoming abundantly clear, and I don't know if it's because Tom Brady is, they don't feel he's as gifted as Jameis Winston in throwing the vertical pass. I don't know what it is. But the vertical passing game was gone last night for the Buccaneers, and it hasn't really been a strength for them as it was last season. I'd have to probably look back on this one, but as Kyle notes, in 3 games with Antonio Brown playing on the field, Chris Godwin's air yards per target have gone from 13.3 to 8.0 to 6.5. This is like death by 1,000 paper cuts on offense in some cases for this Bucs offense. We've said this a few times now. The reality is that other than maybe the Steelers, the Bucs are probably the only offense where you can start 3 wide receivers in fantasy and feel pretty good about it. It's just that the ceiling is not nearly what it was last year. Coming into the season, we talked about a couple of discounted spots for Chris Godwin and Mike Evans. Like, maybe they aren't top 5 guys like they were last year. Maybe they're more like 8 and 10. Evans might still be in the top 10 because he has 9 touchdowns this season. He scored in 8 of 11 games. But it's evident the ceiling for these players is not the same as it was in last year's offense. Not trying to take the Bucs to task on this. They're in a much better spot. They're 7-4. They're going to make the playoffs. Like, this team is going to be back. They are relevant. They are one of the better teams in the NFL, no doubt. I'm simply talking about this from a fantasy football perspective. These Bucs wide receivers, just as I've said before, they're just not as fun to roster as they were last season.
And it's the inconsistency. I mean, there's a Cameron Brait sighting. Scotty Miller gets a catch here, but there's not, it feels to me like in some of these games, there's never a rhythm developed with these receivers so that you can't reliably get, I think, what you were seeing before. We knew what you had with Jameis Winston. He might miss them a bunch of times, but you sort of knew where you were going with that. I don't feel like the games always feel a little bit out of sync, and then every so often you get a good one, and then you get a dud.
And that's the thing, Stefania, is that, like, I don't want to take anything away from the Rams because defensively they are really good. But if I told you, you had an offense, okay, with Tom Brady at quarterback, Antonio Brown, Chris Godwin, Mike Evans, Rob Gronkowski, and some good depth level pieces like Cam Brate, solid tight end, Scotty Miller, solid depth level receiver. You'd be like, oh yeah, they're going to be like scoring 24 points feels blah from the Bucks last night. That being said, again, feel really confident in Brady and the wide receivers in future weeks. Gronk, I know he had just 4.5 fantasy points, but he plays tight end. There are very few players in that position that you can get excited about. Good on you, Jared Goff, taking advantage of what we thought was a bad matchup. 23 fantasy points on 51 passing attempts. He did look really good. And he's probably a reasonable streaming option in some future weeks. Home to the 49ers this week, at the Cardinals, home to the Patriots, home to the Jets, at Seattle, at Arizona. As a matter of fact, more than a streaming option. I keep saying this, like there are no teams on a bye this week, so I don't know where the hole is at quarterback that you are going to be replacing with Jared Goff. But Jared Goff is set up for a fantastic finish to the season. Quarterback 4 on the week this past week. Maybe this is a reason, if for some reason, and again, I don't know whether it's Matt Ryan, maybe you had Drew Brees and you didn't get the great fill-in this past week for him. I don't know what it would be, but Jared Goff has some legit value down the stretch. He looked great last night, and the matchup, I don't think there's a single matchup that scares me for the final six games.
It'd be interesting. I actually think the San Francisco one is interesting because Kyle Shanahan will be prepared. He and Sean McVay, this will be a very interesting matchup of the minds. But I thought that Sean McVay won the coaching battle last night because the way the game plan for Jared Goff was that when they got to the line, everything happened quickly.
Yeah.
And that was the recipe for success, which I think that's the formula for Jared Goff. Like, it's not very fancy, but that's the recipe for his success.
By the way, last night, it wasn't even close, that coaching battle last night. Rams running backs, super frustrating. Super, super frustrating. And I said yesterday on the show, hey, Daryl Henderson has the highest ceiling and the highest floor. Wrong. 2.9 fantasy points, 3.8 from Malcolm Brown, 8.9 from Cam Akers. It's a 3 running back committee. Bottom line is, we're into week 12. If you're trusting them, Matthew always says trust is a strong word, and what he really means is trusting the Rams is a strong word.
By the way, we prioritized them yesterday in the exact wrong order.
Yeah.
When Cam Akers scored the touchdown, you were the first person I thought of. Like, he was right,
of course Cam Akers scored the touchdown. Daniel, did you have anyone to add there?
Yeah, I just have a real quick question because this felt like they ran the ball so little. I know that they were pretty ineffective with it. Yeah. Is this something that when you see how well not only Jared Goff played, but the receivers responded with additional workload here, do you think that this is something where they're just going to, I don't want to say go away from the run, but let Jared cook? Maybe
Jared Cook. I think probably the reality is that it was a bad matchup for them to run the football. The Bucs are very good up front. They have a fast, imposing, physical defensive line and front seven in general. I think they'll be able to run the football more in future weeks. I just think that it's 3 players, right? And why would they not want to get Cam Akers more involved? Part of why the Rams are so good this year is because they had a money draft class this past year. GM Les Snead has been doing a great job. And then just to thank you, Robert Woods and Cooper Kupp, for incredible nights last night. How about this? Cooper Kupp has 11 catches and 13 targets, both fewer than Robert Woods, who had 12 catches on 15 targets. Kupp had 145 yards. Woods had only 130, but Woods adds a touchdown. So Cooper Kupp, 25.5 fantasy points, 30.6 from Robert Woods. Good enough from Cooper Kupp to earn a tweet from Devontae Adams saying, Cooper Kupp, the most underrated wide receiver in the league. High praise there from perhaps the best wide receiver.
Thought that was maybe his best game. I don't know what his yards after the catch were last night, but I thought that's where he excelled. And he was so nimble looking that he just escaped contact a bunch of the time. I thought that was Cooper Kupp's best game of the year.
52 yards on the first drive. Daniel, what do you got?
Fields, I want to ask you this question. Mm-hmm. And Stefania, you can weigh in here too. Understanding that the trade deadline for ESPN Fantasy Games is this
Wednesday
week.
At noon, yep.
So
tomorrow.
You see how well both Robert Woods and Cooper Kupp played. This is definitely playing above what their expectations have been based on the rest of the year so far. Is this a moment where you see this and you pounce on it and you try and get as much as you can at the trade deadline?
I think we do this a lot. Like, we have one game and it propels us to like buy.
Of course,
lows.
We do. No, we're
emotional.
No.
Right?
We're emotional creatures.
Game of emotion, right?
Probably not is what I would say. I mean, if you get a great deal, yes, of course. Like, I'm always going to tell you, if you can upgrade at wide receiver, like if someone said, "Oh, I'm concerned about Adam Thielen missing a game, but I can get, you know, Robert Woods, trade him for Adam Thielen," I'd do that. But I'm not on principle saying, okay, these guys played really well. The schedule is great down the stretch. I'm trusting in these guys being horses for your lineup the rest of the way. Let's close the books on week 12 and just rip through these quickly and just like, hey, are you trusting them or are you not based off what they did this past week?
Can I just pat myself on the back for
one
second
here? Please do.
Thanks to Thirsty Kyle. He said Cooper Kupp season high 78 yards after the catch. The eyeballs had it. Eyeballs had it.
Eyeballs had it.
I love it.
All right. Daniel, here's a question for you.
Yeah.
There we go. I found it right there. No, I didn't. Do you have the script for our live read that I can't find right now?
Oh, you know what I did field?
What'd you do?
I probably cut it and meant to
there
paste it
go.
Up in there, and then I just didn't repaste it.
Thank you, Daniel. This is what we do when we make content happen on the fly. Whatever you want to protect, nobody has more ways to help keep you safe than ADT. You can customize an ADT security package to help protect your home in a way that works for you and your budget. Whether you want just the basics or all the bells and whistles, ADT can work with you to customize a system to help protect your home. HD video doorbells, indoor and outdoor cameras, smart lights, smart locks, smart thermostats, flood sensors, and fire, and carbon monoxide detectors that are connected to 24/7 monitoring controlled by the sound of your voice or the ADT app. All ADT products are rigorously tested to deliver the quality you expect from ADT, the most trusted name in security. ADT expert installers average 10-plus years of experience. We want you to be happy with your ADT service. That's why we provide one of the best money-back guarantees from a national security provider. Protect now, pay later with low, flexible, monthly payments to fit your budget.
Do you ever feel like you're always on?
Always.
I mean, these days, everything is just go, go, go. It is nothing but nonstop hustle all the time. And everyone knows nothing good comes from hustling. Sometimes you just need a moment to turn off and hit reset. We have work and friends and family, a million pressing social issues, and the expectation to just be on 24/7. That's when you reach for a Coors Light. There's only one beer out there that's literally made to chill, and that's Coors Light. Watching football is therapeutic to fans. It is the uninterrupted me time, an excuse to chill and drink beer. Coors Light is the official beer of watching any sport or team, just to drink beer. Mountain cold refreshment, made to chill. Coors Light is cold lagered, cold filtered, and cold packaged for the cold trifecta. It's literally made to chill and celebrate with responsibly. It's as crisp and refreshing as the Colorado Rockies. Perfect for a moment to unwind.
Daniel just made me want a Coors Light breakfast beer.
Well, you know what? Breakfast beers are a real thing. We have established that, and Coors Light is the beer to choose when you need to unwind. So when you want to hit reset, reach for the beer that's made to chill. Get Coors Light in the new look delivered straight to your door at get.coorslight.com. Coors Brewing Company, Golden, Colorado. And please, don't forget to celebrate responsibly.
Breakfast beers. All right, let's get into players that maybe struggled in week 11 and whether you trust them in week 12. And Stefania, let's just, like, it's going to be almost like a meter here, like how much you trust them.
No.
Matt Ryan, a duh. None of them? They're all gone.
Sorry. Matt, I don't even want to hear Matt Ryan. I've had him in too many leagues, and I know what he did this last week. And shame on me for trusting him for this long. So, no.
Okay,
no.
Well, here's an example then. So that, I'm glad you mentioned that. I might lean towards Matt Ryan for one more week because he has the Las Vegas Raiders at home. But
yeah, the next week he plays New Orleans, the same team he just had.
Of course. Against. Good example, though, of a player who
Matt Ryan.
You could replace with you could use Jared Goff to replace Matt Ryan. Hayden Hurst had zero catches on two targets. I'll take this one. I'm trusting him. You know why? Because he plays tight end. And there's like none of them. People.
Both targets were in the red zone.
That's good.
The week before he had team high eight targets.
You have to go back to the well there. Todd Gurley, 3.9 fantasy points, Stefania. Really hard to find running backs. He's been really good this year, though. I can't not trust Todd Gurley, right?
I guess. I mean, his previous low was 14 carries. He only had 8 carries last week. They were just awful this last week.
And the counterpoint against Todd Gurley is that he is very touchdown dependent. But he's also the best touchdown maker we've seen in the league over the past 5 years. So I am going to give him some level of respect and benefit of the doubt in this case. Lamar Jackson, 16.5 fantasy points, Stefania.
This is what my note.
Here's one for you. You ready for this?
Look off.
They do. Like, they look
it
off.
Just, you know, and I don't think if we're near week 11 that that's going to necessarily rectify itself.
How about this? I had Taysom Hill last week, used him in my tight end spot. I might start him over Lamar Jackson this week. Mm-hmm. Call me nuts, but I'm thinking about it. Thinking long and hard about it.
They're playing. They're playing the Steelers.
Let me make this one easy on the next one.
On a Thursday. Yeah.
Marquise Brown might belong on your bench with the way that he's playing right now. Zero catches on three targets. You said something's off with Lamar Jackson. Something is totally amiss right now with Marquise Brown. We don't have a perfect reason for it, but he is nowhere near fantasy reliable. Carson Wentz, Stefania, 14.4 fantasy points. Bye-bye. Not trusting him at all, right?
I mean, even against Seattle. Seattle's passing defense has been better in recent weeks. But
you watched the Eagles.
I have. It's not good. I'm just saying it.
Yeah. Along those lines, Travis Fulgham, it's hard to imagine it's going hard. Back. But Travis Fulgham, who has had two bad games after such a great stretch, it is Seattle. That's important. But I'll just say this with Travis Fulgham. He played so well for so long that I want to give him one more week before I totally write him off. I might have him on the bench this week, but I need one more week before I say bye-bye.
He's wide receiver 100, Harrington is telling me.
Wide receiver 100? Okay, well, could be worse, right? Jamison Crowder had one catch for 16 yards last week, Stefania.
Oh, come on. Do I have to, if nobody from the Jets?
Okay, there you go. Not trusting any of them. Jarvis Landry, man, 3 rushing yards, 2 catches, 23 yards, 4.6 fantasy points. Noticing a lot of players from the Irish Twins roster is what we're talking about right now.
Maybe
literally,
it's your fault.
Literally, right? Like,
get my curse. It's you guys.
Yeah, we have had a bad year in the war room.
Mm, but you've got the most points scored against you, right? And the second most points in the league, and you're definitely the best team of all the league of everyone in the league.
I have too much hair to try to.
Oh, okay, all right. I was just curious.
T. Higgins. So, by the way, not trusting Jarvis Landry right now. Just can't do it. Love the player. T. Higgins, Stefania, 3 catches, 26 yards, 10 targets. I'm actually okay with this one here.
Yeah, I mean, we talked about this yesterday. We didn't get a full compliment of Ryan Finley. Like, you don't know what a week under his belt looks like, and T. Higgins is T. Higgins. So, look, their next matchup is against the Giants. I'm going to trust him.
Yeah. I you know what?
You can't drop him.
Right? Drop him.
You're not going to play him probably this week, but you just can't drop him. Wait and see.
And one more here. Nyheim Hines, 3 catches, 31 yards. Here's the reality is that we talked about this. Like, you're going to have to take the good with the bad with Nyheim Hines. But just be really sort of like, be mindful of when we get, like, you know, information about how players are going to be utilized within the course of a game.
Yeah.
Like,
there was so much hype on him this week. And
fool's gold sometimes, right?
But Jonathan Taylor, like, good. Are you buying? Like, that's an interesting one to me because if they were like, mm-hmm. Jonathan Taylor looked really good.
Confidence.
Gave him more opportunity. Yeah, exactly.
All about confidence. So, along those lines, I am trusting Nyheim Hines as much this week as I did last week. You might get 2 touchdowns. You might get 2 fantasy points. Let's play a little game of Dumpsville because we're going to talk about waiver wire ads in just a moment. And before you can add players, you got to drop somebody. So we're going to rip through these, Stefania. And here we go. We just talked about Carson Wentz. Sorry, buddy. You go right over to Dumpsville. You just cannot be trusted right now. How about Drew Brees, though, Stefania? That's sort of an interesting one because, you know, you have a better medical evaluation of him. Like, it's not really Dumpsville, it's more like Dropsville, right?
The note I wrote to myself was, he says he wants to come back at 3 weeks, week 14, which I think is a little bit optimistic. But even if he did, would you trust your fantasy playoffs to him?
I would consider it, but here's what I would say. I think he's a hold in case. Like, if you need the roster spot, I'm okay with it.
Correct.
He's a hold.
I would agree
just
with you there.
In case.
Hold only if you have an IR spot or even if you don't have an IR spot?
Yeah, I mean, even if you don't, I think it's probably, like, at this point of the season, and this is reflected in the waiver wire column, is like, you kind of know what you need, and I understand that games could be taken away from us in any moment, but we've been on a good stretch right now.
Yep.
We've been on a very good stretch. You kind of know what you need, so I'm not against holding on to Drew Brees, depending on what your quarterback situation looks like without him. Let's get to some running backs here. Devin Singletary, who, he's still available. He's still rostered in 73% of leagues, Stefania.
No, thank you.
Yeah, no thank you as well here. It depends on what you're chasing, right? So you can hold him if you, the reality is Devin Singletary may have value with Zach Moss on the field. But even with Zach Moss out for 3 games with a toe injury, he was outside the top 30, so he can be dumped as well. Let's make this easy, Stefania. Marquise Brown.
Bye-bye.
Nice run, though, huh?
Yeah.
Actually, not really. It was a pretty terrible run.
Well, I mean, last year. I'm talking about last year.
Yeah, no, I was just thinking myself. I was sort of asking that. I was sort of thinking about that on my own. AJ Green, Stefania. No, Jerbo the rest of the season.
That one makes me sad. You know I have a soft spot for AJ Green, and I'm just happy that he got a touchdown.
Okay.
One touchdown.
Then I'll have the honors. Bye-bye. AJ Green. I mean, it's just so hard to trust 3 Bengals wide receivers. We just talked about T. Higgins. And then one more here, Stefania. Le'Veon Bell. This is interesting. So Le'Veon Bell, holding or dumping? Because he did score last week, but it's pretty obvious. He's an insurance policy.
He is an insurance policy. So that then becomes a question. Is he worth holding as an insurance policy if you have Clyde Edwards-Helaire?
Even if you don't have Clyde Edwards-Helaire, I'd hold as an insurance policy. So just to round it out here, Manuel Sanders, bye-bye. I mean, I think he's expendable is what I should say, right? He had a decent game this past week. He is expendable, in my opinion. Not a guy that you have to drop, not a guy that you have to start either. So he sort of fits. If you need to add somebody from the waiver wire column, Emmanuel Sanders could be the odd man out. All right, so we go from that to the waiver wire. And the waiver wire segment, waiver wire column this week featured not just players to add, but also some Week 12 streaming considerations. As I keep saying, broken record field, how many quarterbacks are you lining up to bench this week? If you go through the must-starts, you know, like once you get your way through Mahomes plus Watson plus Wilson plus Kyler plus those type of guys, right? And there's, whatever, 8, 9, 10 of those already. Aaron Rodgers, we keep Tom Brady, etc. You're kind of already at your quarterback starting list. But Derek Carr has been a top 12 quarterback in 3 of his past 6 games, and he's got great matchups coming up. The Falcons and the Jets. Maybe the play here is if you have the ability to, and let's say, for example, you have Tom Brady, go add Derek Carr this week. Brady's on a bye next week. Carr has the Jets next week.
Nice.
I like that one right there. Let's get into some running backs, and Lemons into Lemonade is brought to you by Truly Hard Seltzer. Truly Lemonade is a refreshing mix of lemonade and hard seltzer that is perfect for game day if life or your fantasy lineup gives you lemons. Make lemonade and keep the good times going with Truly. Truly Hard Seltzer. Live Truly. How about this, Stefania? This offseason, the Dolphins made 4 investments in running backs. 1, they signed Jordan Howard for $10 million.
Oops.
He's cut. 2, they traded for Matt Breida, a 5th-round pick to pay him over $3 million this year.
Meh.
Yeah. He's a backup player. They used a 7th-round pick a year ago on Miles Gaskin. He's really good. Then they claimed Savon Ahmed off of waivers during cutdown weekend. He's really good, too. Over the past 2 weeks, he's got 39 touches. The next 2 weeks at the Jets, home to the Bengals. Stefania, I don't know, and maybe do you know anything about? Like, do we have any latest intel on Miles Gaskin? Or are we still just searching for answers?
No, I think it's a wait and see. We had heard from the beginning that Brian Flores said it would be a minimum of the time on injured reserve. So while they're on injured reserve, you just don't get any hints. And until he comes back and we're seeing him in practice, we just don't know. I wouldn't assume that he automatically plays first game back.
Okay, that's good to know. I mean, I think that Ahmed has at least value for one more week. He and Gaskin both played at Washington. They have cornered the market on UW running backs. Daniel.
You had mentioned Gus Edwards earlier in the show. He obviously would be a part of this conversation.
As would J.K. Dobbins, by the way. I want to make sure that's very clear, is that J.K. Dobbins still should be added this week. He's available in about 52% of leagues. J.K. Dobbins, and go follow some of the reporting from Jameson Hensley, does a great job here covering the Ravens for us at ESPN. That was the plan. Like, it seemed like it was time for J.K. Dobbins to become the man in the Ravens' backfield. If you have the opportunity to grab J.K. Dobbins, I would do so. He would actually be my priority waiver ad of the week, unless you absolutely needed somebody for Week 12, in which case you got to go with Gus Edwards or Savon Ahmed. Wide receivers, slightly more interesting this week. Michael Pittman Jr., who, for a guy that had a serious leg injury, so far, it doesn't look like it.
You know, the big thing about so he had compartment syndrome, and they have to do a fasciotomy, and it's pretty gruesome in terms of in terms of description. So I will spare you the details. But the bottom line is that once it heals, you can do really well. The problem is when guys have tried to come back too quickly. Colts did a nice job of making sure he had adequate recovery time, did not rush him back. It's paying off right now.
Yeah, it sure is. And that's a really nice draft class they've got going there in Indianapolis with Pittman amongst the players leading the way, over 15.5 fantasy points in each of the past 2 weeks for Pittman. He's available in 75% of leagues. Every year, there's a player who basically stays on the waiver wire all year long. We never get rid of him. This year, it's Corey Davis. Has 11-plus fantasy points, I believe, in all but one game this season. He had a 0-point game in Week 9 against Chicago. In every other game, he's averaged 16 fantasy points. Get yourself some Corey Davis on your roster.
From Week 7 to 11, with the exception of that Week 9, 6 to 10 targets a game.
Yeah, he's been good. By the way, Corey Davis will be one of those players that signed somewhere this offseason And it's going to be interesting. And you'll be like, that's pretty good money for Corey Davis. Like, he's going to get like a, I don't know, 4-year, $40 million contract this offseason. And it's going to be like, man,
I remember.
He is pretty good. He is pretty good. Tim Patrick for the Broncos has 6 of his last 7 games with at least 10 fantasy points. He is the best vertical threat in the Broncos offense right now. And Jerry Jeudy obviously is as well. But Tim Patrick is just like, just run straight and we'll throw you the football. He benefited this past week. I don't know if anybody saw
the final play of the game.
Amazing. So the Broncos had the ball, 4th down, 4 seconds left. Rather than punting the football, which you can incur some risk with a bad snap or potentially a DeSean Jackson end of the game punt return for a touchdown, Drew Lock
heaved it.
He dropped back, and the risk a quarterback has to run is you can't just launch it out of bounds. That's intentional grounding. And on 4th down, it's a loss of down, and the game cannot end on that kind of penalty. So he goes back, and he has to sort of like throw it maybe out of bounds, but not that far in bounds. Instead, he throws it up, and Tim Patrick makes a great catch for like an extra 40 yards. Junk time matters in fantasy football. One tight end this week, Dalton Schultz from the Cowboys, 24.4% rostered right now. Got 3 red zone targets this past week. He caught the game-winning touchdown. He has 8 catches on 11 targets in Andy Dalton's 2 starts. We need tight ends. Please, please find me some tight ends that are worth the while.
Can I tell you that really quickly in doing my rankings this week, Field, I got to like tight end 7. And even there, I was not feeling great. And after that, it's just like, what are you going to do? I have never remembered a year where I feel like that position has just been so devoid of.
It fell off a cliff.
It's crazy.
If I am in the commissioner of the league next year, I'm going to make tight ends. I'm going to dissolve the tight end position and just make all tight ends eligible to be flexed. And that's it.
There's just a flex play. There's no tight end position. So like, it's just a flex
play. You have Travis Kelce. He's just a flex. You can't use him anywhere else besides flex, but he would be a lock, obviously, in your flex every single week.
Man.
Just makes too much sense.
I like it.
Let's get to our top 5 waiver wire ads of the week to make this nice and coherent for those that are wondering, all right, who should I make my priority? Let's start at 1. And a reminder, as I was telling you earlier, we do not have J.K. Dobbins on this list because we were thinking specifically about week 12. Gus Edwards needs to be added in a bunch of leagues this week. He's available about 93%. Now,
it'll be a 1-week wonder, but it'll be a 1 good week.
And if he gets what I'm expecting from Gus Edwards is somewhere between 14 and 18 carries, maybe 60 to 70 rushing yards. He needs a touchdown to really make it worth your while because I do not anticipate much passing game volume. But for 1 week, it's really hard to find running backs. Gus Edwards is your guy. Michael Pittman, we just talked about this. Eye test is good. I believe that my favorite kind of waiver wire ad at this time of the year is when you can add a guy who it's not about talent. It's just about either he was previously banged up like Michael Pittman or he just was stuck in a log jam of depth on his team. Michael Pittman looks the part. Love him in Dynasty, and I like him a lot right now for the rest of the season. Corey Davis, again, you know, we're about to enter the Thanksgiving week, and there are certain parts of the Thanksgiving meal that you look forward to more than others, and there are certain parts of it that like, they're just there and you enjoy them. Like, it's like, nothing about the mashed potatoes is the star of the dish, but it's always worth having on the plate, right? So Corey Davis is in your fantasy roster right now. Like, he's not going to be the guy that wins you your week, but he's just going to consistently produce. As we told you, 16 fantasy points per game when you take away the 1 bagel he had. And you know what? We've seen guys who are much more accomplished in fantasy have weird, unique, crummy games. It happens to all players in fantasy football. All right, Dalton Schultz, we mentioned. Tight ends, we need you. And I know that it's not a particularly exciting ad, but it's really tough to find tight ends right now. Not that Greg Olsen was using a bunch of leagues, but he, of course, is going to miss time now. We hope the best for Greg Olsen. If you're just looking to maybe ignite the position a little bit, I do think Dalton Schultz on Thanksgiving could make some sense. And then finally, I want to reiterate this. I know that the intent here is to be focused on week 12, but I really like the idea of getting ahead of the curve right now for week 13. The Buccaneers are on a bye. You will not have Tom Brady in week 13. You would like to add somebody that can go out there and score you 20-plus fantasy points. Derek Carr, who's been tremendous this year. I really actually admire the heck out of Derek Carr, who for 4 years we've been trying to figure out, who are the Raiders going to replace him with? No, he's going to keep the job. and play at an effective enough level to help this team win. They're playing good football right now. He's got a big week 13 on tap against the Jets. So there you have it. 1 through 5 for me, ordered as I would prefer them for week 12, minus one exception, Derek Carr. Any major disagreements there, Stefania, or somebody you would have reordered?
No. I'm actually, it's pretty easy to agree with all those. I was going to mention Derek Carr because the way he's playing, he's so locked in. I mean, Gruden talking about it this week was pretty interesting. He said he's just been putting up with my craziness and finally gotten to a point where he's confident. But we talked about that confidence builder, whether it's running back, quarterback, it's happened for Derek Carr.
Yeah. And it's so easy. We talked about this yesterday, how it's so easy for us on the outside to just say, like, you got to replace this player, right? You got to move on from Carson Wentz. You got to move on from this guy. The Raiders just have stuck by Derek Carr, and
they've
flirted and they've been linked. You know, they were linked to Tom Brady, actually at the Super Bowl. I remember that reporting, and that stuff doesn't come out of nowhere, right? It's there's obviously reasons behind it.
And they've put all the parts around him, allow him to have success.
They've done a nice job. Let's get to a social question, and this comes from our friend Pitts99, who wants to know, would you trade Tyler Boyd for Chase Claypool? Let's go around the horn here and see if we agree on this one. Stefania, if I offered you Chase Claypool and you had to give me back Tyler Boyd, would you do it?
Yes.
Me too. And here's the reason why.
Ryan Finley.
Super nervous. Well, the Bengals offense.
Yeah, I don't think it was that hard of a question, but it may have. I don't know if the question was posed, before he knew what the status was with Joe Burrow, but Chase Claypool's been productive every single week.
It just feels like upside, right? Like you're chasing upside. Chase Claypool has 10 touchdowns in 10 games. Daniel, what do you think on that one?
I agree with you. I would take the Claypool side of that. I wanted to quickly add, and I know we're running out of time, I have a Twitter question, unfortunately, that was sent along as a DM from our friend Jake Olson.
Okay.
You guys know the center from the
long snapper.
Long snapper.
USC. USC. Arguably the most talented long snapper of all time.
And
handsome man as
well.
Great
Twitter follow.
He's fantastic. He's so hilarious. He sent me a question talking about Dalvin Cook, because he's curious, given the Vikings' upcoming schedule, he's the kind of guy that absolutely got you into the playoffs if you're there. But is there any possibility that Dalvin Cook, while he got you there, is somebody you would want to look to move, maybe for like a Derrick Henry, who has a much easier playoff schedule and they're still comparable type of players? Or is there any way that you could ever move Dalvin Cook after everything he's done for you all season long?
So if you can trade Dalvin Cook for a Derrick Henry type or like one of the other like top 6 to 8 running backs and also get an extra stud piece. So let's say the offer was Aaron Jones plus, I'm just making this up here, Robert Woods. I would entertain that for Dalvin Cook. Depends on where your roster is at other spots. But just in general, Jake, my buddy,
dance
I'm just
going to
hang tight. Hang tight, right?
I said dance with who brung you.
Yeah, that's right. I would just keep going with
Dalvin
Cook. Yeah.
That dance partner is really, really good.
That's right. I mean, he's just been ridiculous. The matchups up ahead are certainly, there are some difficult ones.
Yeah. Chicago and the Saints both tough on defense.
But he's been good, consistent.
Yes.
He has been unbelievable. Arguably the fantasy MVP this year. Time now for a quick Geico trivia from
Kyle.
Yeah, I got you covered. Stefania's favorite. There's one running back in the entire NFL. The entire NFL that has 8 games with at least 75 scrimmage yards. I want you to name them for me.
Okay,
the scrimmage. So that's rushing and receiving.
Correct. Good start.
All right.
Okay.
I've got an answer.
I have an idea.
What do you got? What do you guys find?
Because I know Kyle's tricky.
He is very tricky.
He wants us to go like you think you're going to know.
Or
Dalvin Cook or Alvin Kamara. James Robinson is my guess.
Ooh, that's a great guess. I wish I'd guessed that myself. I'm going to go with the other rookie running back, Clyde Edwards-Helaire.
Clyde's got 6. James Robinson has 8. Stefania, you savant. Look at that pull. That is impressive.
Great. Major, major pull there from Stefania Bell.
I have turned the juju in this chair around.
That's right.
Winner's chair.
That's right.
Absolutely.
Much smarter. I love it. Great. That's a great pull right there by Stefania. I was wondering, like, usually there's a tie to the player in the show somewhere. And no, that was just totally
wrong. Kyle's being ultra tricky. You know why I thought? Because I was looking at James Robinson for something recently. I think it was like maybe a trade proposal or in conversation. So I had been very aware of his performance.
Well, James Robinson was picked up on the wire field. So technically a tie, kind of, sort of.
There you go. I love it. All right, so we're back tomorrow. And just a reminder, tomorrow's show is our final one of the week. We hope you guys understand that we have a Thanksgiving holiday, and we are very grateful to all of you. We're thankful for all of your loyalty and dedication to the show, both on the podcast version and also the live stream. We have a ton of fun here. It's a great staff we have, both in front of the camera and certainly behind the camera as well. But we are back tomorrow with all the information that you need.
We'll do a CSS DFS podcast later on tomorrow as well, so you have your daily fantasy fix when you need it.
For Daniel, Stefania, I'm Phil. Talk to you guys Wednesday.
You're in the 06010. Focus. Fantasy. Fantasy Focus.
The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart?
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.